ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भवुमान् बहवो योगिनः त्वदार्पितेहानिजकर्मलब्धया विभूद्य भक्त्याय कथोपनीतया प्रपेदिरेञ्जोच्युतते गतिं परम्।
O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out your prescribed duties. Through such devotional service, perfected by the processes of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you, O Infallible One, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode.
Tathapi bhuman mahima gunasyate vibodham arhatyam alantiratmabhi avikriyat svanubhavara rupato hyananya bhodhyanaya chatantaya.
Non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and of all attachment to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. Purport. It is difficult for conditioned souls to understand all the transcendental features of the Supreme Lord, as confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate. The transcendental existence of God is understood progressively as the impersonal effulgence, the localized supersoul in one's heart, and finally the supreme personality of Godhead, existing in his eternal abode. Lord Krishna's transcendental existence is beyond the qualities of material nature. Thus, here the Lord is referred to as agunasya, without material qualities. Even if one practices yoga or engages in advanced philosophical speculation, one will find it very difficult to understand clearly the transcendental existence beyond the modes of material nature. And these processes are virtually useless for understanding the Lord's own unlimited transcendental qualities, which are far beyond the impersonal conception of spiritual existence. Only by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord, or by associating with the Lord himself, can one begin the process of realizing the personal feature of God, a process that culminates in pure Krishna consciousness, the final and supreme perfection of all knowledge. Translation. Non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and all attachment to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. We are reading this morning the prayers of Lord Brahma from the 10th canto, 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. After Brahma attempted to show his great power for all of the universe to see by stealing the gopas and the cows from Brajbhumi. And witnessing the miraculous mystic power of Yogeshwar, Sri Krishna, how he had expanded himself as each and every cowherd boy and each and every cow, calf, he was so struck with wonder. And upon seeing each and every one of these divine personalities transform into the Narayan form, then he realized that this child, Krishna, was none other than the Supreme Absolute Truth and his own eternal master. And with great humility, he surrendered himself at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And here he is offering prayers. These prayers are so important to understand because we know that Lord Brahma, he is the foremost pundit or scholar in all of this universe. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhakaviye Muyanti Yatsuraya. He is the original knower of the Vedas. In fact, it is from him that all of the Vedas are coming. So in this particular verse, he is explaining that only those fortunate persons who engage in your loving service through the process of bhakti can know you in truth as you are. Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashasmi tatpata, that it is only by bhakti, it is only by pure unalloyed devotion that I can be understood as I am. Bhaktya tvananiya shakya aham evam vidorajana gyatam drastam cha tatvaina praveshtam cha parantapa. Krishna says, only by undivided devotion can I be understood as I am standing here before you. Bhakto shime shakacheti rahasyam hetad utamam. To understand Krishna is a great, great deep mystery. Through studying the Vedas for countless lifetimes, through performing great, great tapasya, by performing wonderful, wonderful sacrifices, by even perfecting the yogic process and attaining all the eight mystic siddhis, one has no access to understand what is Krishna. It is only when we hear Tadvadi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upatekshati te jnanam jnanenastatu darshan. When we hear from one who has surrendered his life in devotion to the Lord, can the truth be revealed to us. And by serving such great personalities, then by the divine kripa, the divine grace of the Lord, he reveals himself. You cannot force the appearance of the sun. The sun appears at its own free will at the time of dawn. Similarly, when Krishna, by his own sweet will, appears within the horizon of our heart, only then can we know him in truth. Lord Brahma is explaining here that non-devotees, they can never realize Krishna because they are too much attached to the sense objects. They are too much desiring to enjoy the senses through their objects. And therefore, as Krishna explains in Gita, Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dhuka jonayate adyantavanta khonte yanateshu ramate. They are constantly immersed in various suffering conditions of life due to trying to dukalayam ashashvatam, trying to enjoy this temporary nature. And some more fortunate souls, when they are utterly frustrated by the desire for material sense enjoyment, Krishna says in Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punara avatanorjana mamu pechatu konteya punara janmana vidyate. Even by such pious activities, one can attain Brahmaloka, the supreme abode of sense enjoyment. Ultimately, when one's karma expires, one has to come back down to this earth. Therefore, Krishna says, from the highest planet down to the lowest, they are all places of misery, suffering, places of birth and death. So therefore, those who are Brahmavadis or Mayavadis, they understand that this material world is an illusion. Therefore, they want to extinguish all of their desires and merge into the Brahma Jyoti. Jagan Mitya Brahma Satyam. They want to enter into the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Absolute Truth. But Lord Brahma is explaining, even that is so difficult to attain. Klesho dikataraastesham avyaktashakti chetasam. Krishna says in Gita that it takes so much trouble to enter into that impersonal realization of the Supreme. But through all their endeavors, aruya krishtena paramparam tata, it says in the Bhagavatam, ultimately they have to fall down again, because the soul, jivera swarupoi krishnira nityadas, will never be satisfied until it is engaged in a loving reciprocal relationship with Sri Krishna. And all of the great austerities and all of the great cultivation of knowledge of such impersonalists gives no pleasure to Sri Radha Gopinath. Only humble devotion. There is a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita which very wonderfully illustrates the nature of the heart of Bhagwan. There was a very wonderful devotee. He was one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. In his earlier life, he appeared as the son of a great acharya named Tapan Mishra, and he lived in the city of Varanasi. His name was Raghunath Bhat. Later, he was called upon by the name of Raghunath Bhat Goswami. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making his first journey to Vrindavan, he stopped in Varanasi, and there Raghunath Bhat had the good fortune. He was a small boy. He would every day massage the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he also learned to be a very excellent cook, and he would cook for him. And he would watch his beautiful kirtans and chant and dance with him and hear his wonderful words. In this way, his whole heart was transformed into an atmosphere of pure love and pure devotion. So at one time, he decided, after he was grown up, at this time he was a young man, that what is the use of this material world? What is the use of having a family? What is the use of having job? It is all just so much a disturbance, so much a distraction away from my complete surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. He had no attraction for any of these things. So he decided that I will just leave my family, my mother, my father, and I will leave this Varanasi, which is abode of so many Brahmavadis, and I will go to Jagannath Puri, and I will live with the Lord of my life, Lord Sri Gaurasundar. So he made this resolution. Now at the time, there was a very, very, very famous Brahmin. He was a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And he was famous because day and night he would be singing the beautiful glories from the Ramayana, the stories of Sri Ram's pastimes. Day and night he would be chanting the holy names of Sita and Ram. And he was such a scholar, and he would recite the narrations of Lord Ram's Leela in such a way that people were just struck with wonder. And he would never speak anything but that. So Raghunath Bhatta, when he was about to leave for his pilgrimage to Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, this Ramdas Vipra came to him and said, "Please, Raghunath Bhatji, I want to come with you. But I will only come on the condition that I can carry all of your baggage on top of my head." Huh? So Raghunath Bhat, he said, "You are such a great scholar and so learned in the Leela of Sri Ram that there is no need for you to carry my baggage on your head. You simply talk about Ram all the way and I will be very happy." And Ramdas Vipra, he said, no, I will talk about Ram. I'm always talking about Ram. But I will not go unless you allow me to put your bags on my head. That is the one benediction I beg from you." So Raghunath Bhat, what could he say? So he took his bags and put on head. He appeared to be a very humble person. So they began to walk, you know, from Varanasi to Jagannath Puri. It takes some months to walk by foot. And the whole time, throughout the day and throughout the night, Sri Ramdas was narrating the beautiful pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And then they came to Jagannath Puri. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying in a place called the Gambhira, which was the house of Kashi Mishra. And Raghunath Bhat and Ramdas Vipra, they both came together to meet Lord Gauranga, and they both prostrated themselves, full dandavat, before the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to see Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, so happy to see him, that he lifted him off the ground and embraced him and began to cry tears of love. And Raghunath Bhat Goswami in return began to cry tears of love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to ask, "How is your father, Tapan Mishra? How is your mother? How is Chandrasekhar Acharya and all the devotees in Varanasi? How are you doing? How was your trip?" And in this way, they had such a wonderful, beautiful, intimate exchange of love. But to everyone's great surprise, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not even look at the face of Ramdas Vipra. He completely neglected him. He completely ignored him. He would not say anything or even acknowledge his existence. And here was somebody who was such a famous reciter of Ramayana, always chanting. People could not understand. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explained what was in the heart of Lord Chaitanya. You see, it is said in Gita, "Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha arjuna bhavashani cha bhutani mamtu vedana kashtana." That I know everything past, present, and future. I also know every living being, but me no one knows in full. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayasya janatishtiti brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudanimaya. Krishna says, I am in the heart of every living being. I know everybody's innermost desires. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You cannot fool all the people all of the time. But you can never fool Krishna even for 1 second. As the Paramatma, he is knowing everything about everyone. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than the avatar of that Paramatma, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, he understood what nobody else could see, the innermost desire of Ramdas Vipra. He was chanting the glories of Lord Sri Ramchandra 24 hours a day, but he only had one motivation, that by doing so, he would become purified and he would become Lord Ram. He would become God. He would merge into the absolute truth. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was playing the role of a devotee, he prayed, Jivarasvarupoy Krishnera Nitya Das, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das, Das, Anu Das, that we are eternally the servants of the Lord. To want to become God, to even want to enter into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, gives no pleasure to Krishna. Only humble, loving service, that aspiration gives pleasure to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmata. Even a small child that offers one leaf, one flower in humble devotion to the Lord wins the heart of Sri Govinda. But even the greatest scholars, if their aspiration is not humility and service, it has no charm to the heart of the Lord. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't even want to see the face of one who wanted to become God. But for one who wanted to serve God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally became the humble servant of those devotees. He glorified them with his own hands. He would bring them prasad. He would embrace them. So here Lord Brahma is explaining how it is so difficult, this impersonal realization of the Lord. But why should such a person undergo such difficulty? The greatest of the yogis, Krishna says, Yogi nama pisaravesham madgatinant ratmana shradhavan bhajatayamam samayuktatamamata. The greatest yogi is one who with faith and devotion serves the Lord. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. It is only by such humility that we could really chant the holy name of the Lord in such a way that it attracts the heart of Krishna. You see, Ramdas Vipra, he was chanting the names of Ram, and he was chanting the glories of Ram day and night. But because he didn't understand Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, he did not understand the principle of real humility. Real humility means, I am your eternal servant, my Lord. Because he did not understand that we should not expect any prestige, any recognition for whatever we do in our life. We should simply offer all recognition and respect to others. And if any respect comes to us, we should simply with great humility offer it to our spiritual master, our Gurudev. If we keep anything for ourselves, then we lose the opportunity to receive the divine grace of Sri Krishna. But one who is in this spirit of humility, feeling himself the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, das, 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 anudas, only such a person can properly chant the holy name. Only does that sound vibration from the mouth of such a person invoke the divine presence of Lord to appear within his name. The great acharyas explain that when we chant the holy name with this material motivation, or without the motivation of humble servitude, then at the best, the name will have minimal effects. In fact, some of the great acharyas have said that if you have a bullet and you shoot it, it has an effect, but a blank bullet makes the sound, but there's no effect. So similarly, chanting holy name without the mood of humble servitude has practically no effect. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. The power of the holy name is that Krishna is appearing within his name. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrapitani Amitas Maranena Kala Etadrishita Vakripa Bhagavan Mumapi. That all the power, all the glory, all the opulence of the Supreme Truth is within the name of Krishna, within the name of Sri Radha. When we chant Radharani's name, when we chant Krishna's name, they appear within their name to us to the degree we are chanting in this mood, in this spirit of Mahaprabhu. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanana manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Only in this spirit can we chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Sri Radharani's name, Lord Sri Krishna's name, is so powerful. Even Ajamil, he chanted, but he had no material aspiration when he chanted. Therefore, the name did not give him pure love, but saved him from the sufferings at the hands of Yamaraj. But until, with this realization, he went to Haridwar, and with all humility, he chanted in a service attitude. Then, through that process, he attained pure love and attained Vaikuntha. So therefore, by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving Guru, we develop the proper consciousness by which we can chant the holy name in such a way that it will attract the heart of Krishna. We are so fortunate now that by the infinite mercy of Sri Radharani, and by the wonderful mercy of Sri Ramesh Babaji Maharaj, descending from the spiritual world of Barsana Dham to our very lowly position, has come these wonderful Brijvasis. Sri Panditji Maharaj, Narsingha Babaji, and one very wonderful kirtan singer from Kamyavan. In a few days, Madan Mohanji and his son will come. Mira, she has come. Haribo. So it is our wonderful fortune It is only by the mercy of Sri Radharani that we can have the association of such exalted Vaishnavas. And in every possible way, we should serve their lotus feet, and we should make them feel very comfortable. And with all of your love and all of your feeling, we want to make them think that they have never left Gabarvan Dham. That is my humble request to all of you. And by hearing their wonderful narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam from Panditji Maharaj, and by hearing the beautiful, beautiful, sweet and loving kirtans of Kamvan Maharaj and Nrisingha Babaji, our hearts will certainly become purified, and our minds will be transported to Goloka Vrindavan Dham. So I want, on behalf of all the devotees, to humbly thank all of these loving Vrijvasis for taking so much trouble and time to come. And I request you all to open your hearts, open your ears, and hear from them, serve them. And in this way, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath will become very pleased upon us. Thank you very much. Jai Sri Radha. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, you narrated that wonderful pastime of Raghunath Das. This Ramchandra Das Vipra, he did some small service for a pure devotee of the Lord. Could that service not be a seed for his getting some?
Ah, it was seed. He was allowed to remain in Jagannath Puri. He was a great scholar there. But you see, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that his service to Raghunath Bhat, that his studying the Shastra, that his 24 hours a day narrating the pastimes of Sri Ramchandra, they were all built upon the foundation of the desire of wanting to take the position of Ram. He was serving with the idea of becoming God. He was not serving with the idea of pleasing God. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no attraction whatsoever for this mentality. And therefore, by neglecting him, he showed his mercy upon him. Because even with the wrong motivation, he served such a great Vaishnava as Raghunath Bhat Goswami. The Lord, by neglecting him, gradually taught him a lesson. And gradually this person became a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord. He appeared to be a devotee, and he was famous as a great devotee. But the Lord knows our heart. He knows our desires. He knows our motivations. He rejected him. But in rejecting him, he taught him a very good lesson. And thus, gradually, his heart became purified and understood the supreme divine most position. Gopi Bhartur Kamalayor Das 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 Anu Das.
Maharaj, sometimes we take our service very cheaply. Sometimes we take the association of devotees and the scriptures and the devotional service very cheaply. So when we find ourselves taking it very cheaply, what should we have in our mind that time so that we don't take it cheaply?
It is the tendency of the conditioned soul to take everything cheaply. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Hoy. Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. One moment's association with a Vaishnava is so precious, so valuable, that all the treasures, all the jewels, all the property in this entire creation is not worth even 1 second association with a Vaishnava. Because even if we attain the lordship and the proprietorship of everything in this world, ultimately, it's only going to be such a big burden on our head, which is going to cause us nothing but suffering. But one moment's association with a Vaishnava can open the doors to eternal life, eternal joy. Mahat sevam dwaram ahuravimuktes tamodwaram yoshita sanghi sangha. By associating with Mahatmas, the doors to the highest liberation are opened in our life. But we are such fools. We are so dull-headed that by the grace of Sri Radharani, Sri Gopinath, we have the association of so many wonderful devotees. We have the most rare, valuable jewel, and we are still chasing after broken pieces of glass, the worldly pleasures. That is our greatest misfortune. Therefore, by humbly and submissively opening our hearts, opening our ears to hear the Shastra, to hear from the lips of the great souls, through this process, we develop faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Shastra from the lips of great devotees. Nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtake. Shyamanandaji. Okay. So, by hearing, in the association of sadhus, gradually that faith awakens. And by sincerely serving such sadhus, gradually we understand the good fortune that we have.
We hear that the holy name itself, the chanting of the holy name, is supposed to teach us what we should desire or what should be our motive. So even if somebody has the desire to become the Lord, to become one with Him or to enjoy, can't just the chanting purify us? It is supposed to be all purifying.
If that was the case, then why so much emphasis is given on Guru and on the association of sadhus? By their mercy, by their words and by their example, they teach us the proper process of chanting the holy names. Krishna is Abhigya Swarat. He is independent. He does not have to appear within the sound of his name. You cannot force Krishna to appear in the sound of his name. He appears within the sound of his name by his own sweet will, as a reciprocation to the love of his devotee. Bhagavatam says, Yeyatam amprapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya paratha saravasha. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. And Krishna is non-different than his name. Yes, Krishna is always in his name, but he will only reveal himself through his name to the extent you are accepting the position as his humble servant and the humble servant of his servants. He will only reveal himself through this manifestation of his name to the degree you surrender. Otherwise, although he's there in those syllables, he remains hidden to us. Srila Sanatana Goswami explained that we should not even hear the name of God from materialistic people. because it is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. This is what is written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. It will have poisonous effects, because by hearing the name from non-devotees, we will understand the name in a mood contrary to devotional service. Huh? Therefore, yes, Krishna is in his name. But unless we learn from the great devotees of the Lord how to chant properly, how to be a devotee, how to be humble, and how to surrender, then we could chant for millions of lifetimes, and we will never find Krishna in his name. But the name is so powerful. It is so powerful. The greatest power in all of creation is the name of God. But only by association of sadhus is that great power revealed to us. Is this correct, Panditji? Any other questions?
What do we mean when we say we should chant the holy name in a mood of humble service? What do we exactly mean when we say we should chant the holy name in a mood of humble service attitude?
That means we must understand that we are chanting the holy name to please Sri Radharani, to please Sri Krishna, to please our Guru Maharaj. The more we become purified, the more we can please the Lord and please his devotees. In the spiritual realm, everything we do is simply for the pleasure of Sri Radha Gopinathji and for the pleasure of all of the devotees of the Lord. We are not chanting the holy name for the purpose of our own enjoyment. Our constitutional position is not to enjoy, but to be enjoyed. To be enjoyed by Krishna. To be engaged in assisting the divine loving service of Sri Radharani and the Sakis in their loving devotion to Sri Krishna. Servant of the servant of the servant. Therefore, the authorized acharyas and the real sadhus, they teach us how to become a menial servant. And through that, they teach us the proper mentality by which we should approach God's holy name. Just like if you go to Manmandir. When I first went to Manmandir, I used to see Narsingha Baba carrying big, big pots of water on his head. From the bottom of the hill to the top of the mountain. Early in the morning, I would get up to chant japa. And I would see, before I would even be up, he would be already carrying big, big pots of water on his head, up and down this mountain. And then after that, he would chant. And I was thinking, this is the proper way to chant. He's in such a mood of service that when he says the name Radha, Radha is right there, listening very carefully. But when I chant the name of Radha, she's very far away. Although her name is here, I am somewhere else. That is the problem. This is how we learn to chant properly, by seeing such wonderful Vaishnavas, by seeing their example. Any other questions? So once again, please give your most heartfelt love in the service of these wonderful Brijbasis.